The Supreme Court of the United States reminds me, Elizabeth Esty, of a little bit of the Ayatollah, you know, in Iran. You know, you can have elections, but in the end, if I don't like your candidate, I'll replace him or whatever else. So by 5-4, that court has been ruling this country in many ways. What do you think?
Well, it's fascinating to see everything that's going on around this. It is a reminder of the fact that the Supreme Court does play a really large role in our life, and frankly, when Congress and when the country is divided. And Congress is a reflection of that, then the court looms larger. There need to be definitive decisions on things, and that's why you're seeing more things of import going to the court, which is not surprising when you see, you know, gridlock often in Congress over really profound differences. It's not just being disagreeable. This is really, you know, major differences. But we're also seeing it in the court, and I do think it's regrettable that the court has become so politicized and polarized. And certainly Scalia was an enormous intellect, really shaped that court for 30 years. But the Constitution not just empowers but requires the president to name someone to the court. And then the Senate does its job by holding confirmation hearings and then either confirms or doesn't. And I really do think, you know, in Nino Scalia, who started on the Supreme Court about the time I became a young Supreme Court lawyer and had an opportunity to sort of watch how he was changing the court by his very aggressive questioning and pushing hard, he has, make no doubt, changed the court in ways that I'm not sure that it will put back. I think the justices will continue to be more active in their questioning and probing in a way that was not true before him. But it is the job. The Constitution requires the president to move forward, and it would be terrible for this country, I think, to have only 8 justices for now until June of next year, because that's what it pretty much means if we don't do confirmation hearings and have a confirmation, you know, before the election. A new president is going to take a couple of months to get grounded, try to do a legislative agenda. It takes 2 to 5 months minimum to do a confirmation. You'd miss an entire Supreme Court term. And that's just not good. Then you have the weirdness in the justice delayed problem of 4-4 decisions that then entirely go back to whatever the lower court decided. That's what sticks in place until the Supreme Court takes up the issue again. And that's just too random and too unfair. And it's a reflection of a greater problem of too many seats on the judiciary are open right now. We've had a problem not being able to get judges confirmed, and that's meant in certain parts of the country incredible delays on civil cases just taking years to get resolved. And that should be a concern for all Americans. That shouldn't be a partisan issue. We need to get people confirmed.
So is there a way around this, Elizabeth Esty? Is there a way to make the Republicans give this up and do what you say, up or down, give us a vote, which, by the way, they always say when it's the shoe's on the other foot? Is there a way to do that? Is it American anger at the way in which they are dragging their heels?
Either anger, I would hope, a call to patriotism about the importance of the Supreme Court functioning as a body. You know, the president's been there for 7 years. You don't lose your last term in office, your last year in office. It's a 4-year term. It's not a 3-year term.
Somebody said to me that
the shoe will be on the other foot sometime. You know, the shoe will be on the other foot sometime for sure. So again, I think it's important. You can place a lot of blame for when the current contention over appointments started. And arguably, the latest round started with the Bork hearings. But at some point, it's time for everybody to be grown up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We need good jurists on the court. And there's some very fine jurists whose names are out there who are very, you know, very tempered in their approaches, who were overwhelmingly confirmed to lower court appointments, who would be fine appointments. And honestly, if a Republican were putting the name forward, they'd go sailing through. So it's time for everybody to be an adult around this, I think.
What was it like to appear before the Supreme Court when you were a lawyer?
Well, I was way too lowly to appear other than to be sitting in the Supreme Court bar portion and watch the senior attorneys present the arguments that I'd worked on. But it's fascinating. I mean, it's its own world. You see an extraordinarily brilliant men and women arguing about these really, you know, core issues for the country. It's a little known and little understood part of our democracy, but a really important one. And again, it goes back to the sort of rule of law issues that I flagged, you know, earlier about how America conducts itself in the world, in foreign policy and domestically.
Do you have a particular candidate you'd like to see elevated to the court?
I think there are a number of, you know, there's some good names out there. I think Sri Srinivasan would be an excellent choice. And frankly, some diversity on the bench is important. I think that that affects people's life experiences, do affect how they approach issues, and we have seen that. And there's actually a fascinating, they were recently playing a clip of questioning by Justice Thomas. And as you may know, Justice Thomas, actually, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the last time Justice Thomas asked a question in oral argument. But he gave a resounding round of questions about, in a case that involved cross-burning. And he talked about what that meant to him. And it wasn't just any old symbol under the First Amendment. Now, that is very much shaped by his own personal background. And I think it is important that the court have some breadth of experience and diversity to really reflect this very wonderfully diverse nation. So I think that would be, I think an Indian American on the court would help. An immigrant from a part of the world where we have more and more folks who have come from, you know, China, Japan, India, you know, other parts of Southeast Asia. I think that immigrant experience is important. And in fact, Nino Scalia represented that for another area.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I know that you have announced your support for Hillary Rodham Clinton. I saw an article in the Times the other day that says basically she's in. What do you think?
I think it is a wild and woolly election year, the likes of which I have never seen in my life, and I'm not placing predictions on anything. I think it's very, very volatile. I mean, honestly, I don't think even 6 months ago, much less a year ago, anybody would have predicted you could have a candidate in a Twitter war with the Pope. I'm not going to try to predict on this. But I'm hoping, because I think since you and I last spoke, I've taken my trip to Afghanistan, so I'm hoping we get a chance to talk a little bit about that and what's happening, for example, on the opioid addiction front, where
we're
working really hard in Congress and for, you know, for the northwest corner of Connecticut, for New York, for New England. This is a huge issue that has just exploded on the scene, devastating lives, and really is something that we need to come together across the board and really tackle this in a way before more families get destroyed.
Indeed. Let's talk about that the next time when we meet up. We'll do opioid and we'll do Afghanistan, and we'll see what you're thinking about those two extraordinarily important subjects. So thank you so much, Elizabeth Estey, Democrat of Connecticut's 5th District, in office since 2013.